Well, hey, let's get going. Hey, you threw me off right there, man. We don't do that. All right. Well, hey, we are in week four of this series, Why God, right? Why God? Handling disappointment with God. And today we are going to talk about understanding life's parallel dimensions. And really what we're talking about in that is not the Twilight Zone, for those of you old enough for that. But we're talking about really how we are wrapped in life, like the here and now, while all at the same time, we're living life and so focused on everything that God is also at work, not only in our right now, right, but he's also at work in eternity, right? It's just a complete, mind blower that sometimes, what happens is we don't really get a lot of focus on that. We get focused a lot on the now that might be like work. Some of you may already today be thinking about work tomorrow, or some of you might already, at work today and that sort of thing. Some of you are planners, so you're thinking about tomorrow, your work week and all that sort of thing. Some of you could care less about thinking about tomorrow until tomorrow gets here, right? That's a good one. But there's conflict in that, especially if you're married and one's a planner and one's like, why am I stressed about tomorrow, man? And which is that's a biblical thing. Why worry about tomorrow? Today's got enough troubles of its own, right? So worry about tomorrow. Okay, good. But here's the big idea, is that we get so focused in our life and our now and our struggles and our troubles, and they are real, and they are real pains, and God, hurts with us, and he wants to bring healing to those pains. But there's also a perspective that he wants to bring to us, that while we are in this now, he's also working in this. And they actually work together. So check this out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says this. It says, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. Now, again, this temporary versus eternal, mess is kind of where we're left. And because of difficulty, because of pain, because of things that happen in our life, it really does kind of, pin us down sometimes. Right? And so I got to thinking, as preparing for this message, my grandmother passed away about a year and a half ago. And in preparing for her service, I got to thinking, I was 45 at the time, and I got to thinking, if I doubled my life, she was 93, I still wouldn't be there. Right? And I work with high school students and junior high students and all. And so I'm 46. And so, to them, that's eternity. You know what I mean, right? You're right. So, they're just like, holy crap, when's this guy going to kick the bucket, kind of thing and everything. But there's, still this bigger idea when all of a sudden we look forward, right? And so I'm looking at my grandmother's life and 93, and she's lived a rad life, and it's, I hate the fact, she passed away, but, it's a different thing, right? Now, when my grandfather died, I was only 10. And what's interesting is I never thought about that same thing. I didn't think about, well, my gosh, man, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Like, well, that's a lot of my life. I didn't think about that. I just missed my grandfather. That was it. Right? It's perspective. Right? But, as we grow, we mature, things change, whatever. But I'm also convinced it's not just age and maturity that helps us change some of that perspective. I think it's just being brought in the know. To recognize, through Scripture, that God is pointing to this idea that eternity matters, and it matters now. That we're playing out eternity as of now. And so it's not just to get hung up and bogged down with our life as it is, but that God's doing something much, much bigger all at the same time. Now, if you will, just get your pens and your outlines and everything, and I'll write this down. Real quick, is number one is that we're living out a much larger drama than we realize. We're living out a much larger drama than we realize. I mean, you know, to really, you know, comprehend how big God is and everything about him, you know, that there's two, you know, realities operating simultaneously, right? The here, like the seen and the unseen. We're going to reference Job's life a few times in this message today, but just, you know, if you've not read the book of Job, go read it. And then, you know, let me just throw this out there. Don't get depressed in the first couple chapters. Don't go, oh my gosh, I relate so much with him. Everything's falling apart in my life, because that's not the point of the book. Relate that you might be there where he was at. He lost everything, man. And I don't know how it gets much worse than his life, you know, kind of thing. And he was a righteous man, right? But I want you to, if you're going to read it, this is like side note. You can put your outline down for a second. I'm rambling now, right? You know, so set it down. Because what's going to happen over here on the other end of the book is life change. Ah, right? He says, I've heard all about you with my ears. But now, he was a righteous man. But now, I've seen you with my own eyes. You see, so today, I'm talking to the youngest person in here and the grandest of ages, right? I don't care how long you've been in church, you grew up in church, not this is your very first time to walk into church. You walked in on a perfect day to recognize that God has this grand plan that we're in now. And we'll only understand that part if we don't get so solely focused on every little thing that takes place in every moment of our life and really get bogged down with it. Luke chapter 15 says this in verse 10. There's joy before the angels of God when one sinner changes his heart. So I want to share that to say, I don't want us to think that nothing about our now matters. Like God wants to celebrate. All heaven celebrates one person who surrenders their life to Jesus. All heaven celebrates. So he cares about our now. So we're not just saying, hey, dismiss it. You're a bad person if you only care about that. That's not even it. Not it at all, right? 1 Corinthians 4, it says this in verse 9. It says, God has put us apostles on display, like being watched, right? We've been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. You know, we've been made a spectacle. We're being watched. Your every move matters. Every word you speak, every action you take, or inaction, right? It all matters in the big picture of eternity, right? And so we have to understand that even though right now might be this difficult thing, this hurdle, this insurpassable thing that's just mounting and it's building and it stinks, God today wants us to understand it's momentary, right? Because way over here, let me just do this. I got an illustration. I'm going to grab my life real quick back here. Grab my life for you real quick. I got to find it real quick, actually. Grab my life. I got to find it back here a little bit and figure it out. Here it is. It's really small, actually. I got confused. This is my life right here. This is my life. This red piece of rope is my life, right? 46 years. Can you believe that? Right there. I know I don't look a day over 46, but, you know, I'm 46. You know, I know it's amazing to you. And check this out. Look at, in the big picture of eternity, right? My life is attached to eternity. And we're going to pretend for a second that this rope, if you, this is eternity. You got that so far, right? And this rope doesn't end. Well, it does, but we're pretending, all right? So it, you know, for illustration purposes, we didn't want to harm anybody. So we don't have like the whole real eternity thing going. So the big picture is that this is my life. And while God cares about everything about this life, sometimes I get really bogged down in certain things about this. And yet God's looking at this larger picture of everything. Now let me tell you something about heaven. Right over here when I was born, the Bible says that before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, that God called me and anointed me and set me apart for his good works. That's right over here, man. Can you see it? No, you can't because it's so tiny right here. This is 46 years. Don't tell me you can see it. You know, this is 46 years condensed. You can't see it. But it's right here. Right here, okay? And check this out. There's a time in my life that I came in. It's right. Matter of fact, let me do this. I got to get it on. Yeah, it's right here. Check it out. It's right here. Can you see that? I already told you, you can't. You've got to speed up this learning process. Here it is. Right here, let me tell you something about what happened in my life. This was the day that I met Jesus. Let me tell you something. And I was 10 years old. Let me tell you what happened. I met Jesus, and right here, this little spot here, all of heaven celebrated that day. All heaven went nuts because of that day and that moment in my life and your life. And that's what's so wild about life is like, man, here it is. And in the grand scheme of things, it's tiny. I get it. But God cares about it. He cares about everything that takes place in our life, man. He cares about the decisions we make. He cares about the times we, you know, he urges us to pray for somebody. He knows exactly, right? Did we pray for him? Do we not? You know, kind of thing. I'm good at like figuring out ways how not to, you know, kind of thing. But this is it. Everything. Now I get for some of you, man, it's like your red would be like this. I get it. You know, yeah, you've lived a few more years, you know, kind of thing, right? So yours might be a lot larger. I get it, you know. Imagine this. Imagine if this was just, this was all my sin right here, right? Because I'm a sinner. You know, saved by God's grace, I'm a sinner. This also represents my sin. And when he says that he forgives me, never to be remembered again. Oh my gosh. It really doesn't play that big of a role now, does it? And that's why it's so beautiful to be able to find forgiveness in a relationship with Jesus. Now, as we go on and look at Ephesians chapter 3, it says this. The purpose is that all the angelic powers should now see. This is us. Like, check this out. All the angelic powers of heaven, right, should now see the complex wisdom of God's plan being worked out through the church, right? Do you understand? Like, our life now is this complex plan, right? It's this complex wisdom, and it's God's plan being worked out through the church. That's the now, in conformity to that timeless purpose which he centered in Christ Jesus our Lord. Recognizing that here we are, and our now matters. It matters, but it's got to come with a different perspective, right? Because when we go through pain, we go through death, we go through difficulty in our marriage, and you know, these sorts of things. Like we come to these difficult places, and they're painful. And then they literally halt us. Like just boom, right? And what needs to happen? We need to have this different perspective. Because what matters, or what we did matters. What we do matters. But still, there's an eternity. Perspective in us. It's shaping us. It's molding us, right? In everything. Number two, you can write this down. Is that my responses mean more to God than I can know. My responses to life, my responses to circumstances, right? They mean more to God than I can know. Now, just the other night, I went to a Grizzlies game here in town. I went with Big Ed, Ed Crane. He's the chaplain. He's a member here at the church. He's a chaplain for the Grizzlies. And it's always cool when I get to go with him because I get to park out where the players park, and we get to go, you know, we'll walk through the locker room area, you know, and everything, and meet all the behind-the-scenes people and everything. It's kind of a cool deal. And get to shake hands with a few of the ball players here and there, whatever. It's kind of a neat thing. And then during the game, we'll always go up and set up in the press box, you know, where the scorekeepers are. And the radio announcer, I sat with Greenwald the other day, you know, up in the radio booth. That's just funny. That's a great job. I'd love to have that job. You just talk to yourself the entire time. You just talk to yourself, man. You just talk. Nobody there to tell you nothing, all right? You just talk to yourself, right? It's so cool. But anyway, but check this out. So I'm up in the booth, and over in the corner there's three computer screens. There's a guy sitting. I said, "Hey Ed, what's this guy doing?" He goes, "I have no idea." So I went over and stood behind him, and this is what I saw. This is up on the screen is what I saw. So I kind of stood there. The guy kind of kept looking like over his shoulder, like, why is this, you know, gray babe standing there behind me? And so finally I had to tap, like, what is this, right? What does all this mean? And so what happens is every single pitch he has to do this. And it tracks every single player, umpires, offense, defense, everything. It tracks their movement. Every single pitch. And so you'll see on there, like, umpires are yellow, defense is green, the pink is the base runners, and, you know, batter. The orange is the pitch. The checkered line is heading out to center field where the ball went. You know, if you see a squiggly line, that player went in a squiggly direction, okay? And so what he does is he sets it and he goes and clicks on every single player at like the base of their feet, and it tracks their movement, and he makes all these lines and he does all this stuff and it makes statistics come alive. And so every night when the game is over, this, in this case with the Grizzlies, this gets mailed to the Houston Astros so that they can review the game however they choose to look based on whatever player. We want to see this guy's attitude. We want to see the pitcher struggling. Looks like he fell off the mound when he delivered the pitch. He did go back up because runs scoring. He went backed up. I mean, it shows everything. It shows every movement. There's no more like, hey, why didn't you back up on that play? Oh, man, I did, coach. You must have not saw me, right? Like, it doesn't exist. And in Houston, they can just simply look at the pitcher's movement the whole game, and they don't even watch the whole game. It's nerdy. I get it. But I totally dug it, man. Like, every time I'm in the booth, that's where I go hang out. Because it's just intriguing. And I got to thinking, you know, if a major league ball club puts this much time and effort and money into tracking every movement of every play, I just wonder how much the God of this world, the Savior of my life, he sent his son down a cross for me, for you. I just wonder how much time and effort that he pays attention to his investment in each one of us. You think your actions don't matter? They do. They do in eternity. They do because they change people. They have an effect on people. Quite possibly keep people from recognizing other great things in their life. Maybe it's our struggles. Maybe we're struggling with something, but, you know, is our struggle, you know, peeling off on our family and our kids, right? Our friends, right? So it's this big, crazy idea that what you do matters. And in the story of Job in chapter 35, his buddy Elihu, he says this. Everybody's got a friend like this. They just want to make everything better, you know. He says this. He says, hey, if you sin, how does it affect him? You know, if your sins are many, what does that do to him? If you're righteous, what do you do to give it? You know, all this, right? Your wickedness affects only a man like yourself, and your righteousness only the sons of men. And I want you to understand, like, it's wrong. But we always have a friend like that. Oh, man, I mean, you know, it wasn't that bad, man. You know, I mean, you blew it, but not that bad. And it's really not your fault because of this and this and this. No, you blew it. And it's not about what your friend's going to tell you or not tell you. It's about what God sees in every movement. That's not creepy. It's incredible. It's incredible to think that the God of this universe knows what I do, knows what I say, what I don't say, what I think. Woo-hoo, that's a scary one, right? I mean, for some of you, it's not, because you say everything you think, and half the time you don't even think. You just say it anyway, right? Not even a shocker, right? You know? And then sometimes when you hold back and you didn't even give on that you were holding back, you're like, man, I hope God saw that one. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man, I so wanted to, you know? And I, you know, I'm right there. Like, I see that opportunity to make a wisecrack, and it's like, boom, you know? And then you're like, sweet, six people are laughing and 12 are crying. Well, that's their fault, man. They need to loosen up, right? Yeah. And so what happens? What happens in our life is sometimes we look for that friend to just make it easier on us. But why are we looking for easier? Why aren't we looking for eternal? You see, because if I've done good, that's all part of eternity. If I've done bad, it's all part. Everything is shaping us and shaping those around us. So here's the deal. Big deal, man. You don't come to church for a big deal. Hey, like what people say, hey man, sorry, I haven't been there for a month. And I'm like, hey, what was your name again? Have we met before? You know, like I don't know sometimes, right? Here's why it matters. Because it's helping to shape you. Here's why we celebrate with family, you know, here at North Point or any other church. There's a lot of great churches in Fresno, you know, because it helps shape us. I need this, right? And I need this with you, alongside you, you alongside me. This is what matters so that we can walk out of here not defeated, but recognizing that Jesus is undefeated and we're a part of that team. How's that work, right? How the heck does that work, right? If that's not a good thing, I don't know what is, right? So here's the big idea in this. Again, perspective. This isn't like we think wrong all the time. This is, let's start thinking larger. Let's start seeing things in a different way. Number three, you can write this down, is that I need to see beyond my present pain. I need to see beyond my present pain. The struggle is real. That's what we say, man. The struggle's real, right? 2 Corinthians, again, with this passage we've read, we'll read it another time. You know, we don't lose heart, right? The struggle's real. Though outwardly we're wasting away, the struggle's real. Yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Do we understand that? Or is all we focus on day by day is the struggle is real? I wonder when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified, I wonder what that struggle was like, right? Mankind, really God, right? And what'd he pray? He said, Lord, if there's any way this cup could pass from me, if there's any way this doesn't need to happen, if there's any way, there's another way. And it's almost like he doesn't even complete that whole thought process that as a human he was thinking. Because I would have then given him a bunch of other reasons or even options. God, I've come up with a couple of really good ones, you know, right? Or, you know, he gets up from praying, he's like, I'm out of here. You know, like, right? No. If there's any way this cup could pass for me, nevertheless. Right? That's my King James lesson for the day. Nevertheless. Not my will, but yours. Perspective. I don't get it. It's so big. It's so deep. I met a lady the other night, Wednesday night, at a peace training for missions here, and she came up to me and said this. First thing I remember, she introduced herself and said, I'm without a job, but I have skills, and I want to find out where I can use them. You know, I'm like, that's a perspective. Right? That's a perspective that we all need. I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand. We need a job, we need money, we got to pay bills. I get all that. Nevertheless, I have skills and I want to find out where I can use them. You see that? You see how that works? And this is the game changer of a life. Our world, our country, man, needs to have a different perspective. But they're not going to have a different perspective just because, you know, you sit back in the leisure of your home on your iPad and your phone and you know, retweet and repost all these things about, you know, politics and lame things and your opinions. Your opinions stink. Has anybody told you that lately? You know, you post things that they're 2 years old, man. You don't even pay attention. Why? Because you're focusing on something that you have no business focusing on. Focus on the things eternal. And that will change your perspective. And you'll walk out of here a different person. And you'll interact with people differently, right? And you will know, and they will know, that God is in control because of you. Because of the work that God's done in you. You don't have to, you know, argue those things all the time. Everybody needs your opinion. Nobody wants your opinion. Right? I'd love to see like a cutback on Facebook, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to play the games with you and shut up about politics, right? But, go live it out. Go live it out. You go be Jesus because you've got a different perspective, right? Because it matters different. We don't have to get so focused on our struggles and our troubles, because recognizing that God's got this bigger plan and our current pain, it's real, and God knows it's real. But he's also saying, I'm shaping you. I'm helping you understand that in the biggest pain, right? Got diagnosed with this or that or whatever, and here it is. Remember, you know, in the biggest scheme, I missed my ear, you know? In the biggest scheme, it's like, here, this biggest thing, it's paralyzing you. It's a sickness. It's a whatever. And it could be life-threatening. It could be all these things. And here it is in the scheme of what? Oh, my gosh. Right? Right? And that's the perspective. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It matters to God. He cares about you. He knows your needs. And he also knows eternity. And we get so worried about, man, having enough and this and that and all these things. And God's concerned with what? That all should come to repentance. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm hungry right now. Anybody else? I got a couple minutes left, man. We're going to be out of here. The sandwich thing out there smelled good, man. I'm going to be honest. I'm hungry. Okay, I can eat. Who can eat when you're not hungry? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you didn't have to raise your hand, I can tell. But anyway, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean that. It's like I was a mirror right here, and I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. Sorry. All right, Lord, forgive me. Whew, gosh. All right, eternity. We got to go back to eternity. In the grand scheme of things, that comment didn't matter because of eternity. All right, no. Listen, here's what we're saying. Is recognizing that even in the midst of pain, difficulty, death. What's the scripture say about death? Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones, of his saints. It's a perspective, right? When my grandma passed away, I was sad. But I get it. She lived 93 rad years. It was awesome, right? Go, 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 till she couldn't go. You know what I mean? The go, stop, you know? And so, you know, it's life. When my best friend Eddie died, man, it was different. And I don't get this all the time. You with me? See, I get it with my grandma. It's eternity. It's good. She's lived a good life, right? My best friend, man, 39. That's it. And you know what I want? You know what I want? Because when I don't focus eternity, you know what I want? I want him right here. Right? Isn't that it? And yet, that is selfish. Because he now is celebrating. He's one of them looking on, right? And I don't believe like he's my angel like hovering above me, because that would be annoying. But you know, but I do believe that he's experiencing everything of heaven and eternity. Everything he's ever learned, everything he ever taught. And he always thought he knew everything anyway, and I was put on earth to tell him he didn't. But now... Now, guess what? He knows. How crazy is that? He knows. He's living it. And he's like, Kevin, I didn't know I was friends with you, man. You're a mess, dude. I had no idea. I had no idea when we were there together, man. You're a mess. You're sick in the mind, you know? Selfish? Right? We get it. We understand that, right? Absolutely. But we just need to be able to celebrate life and recognize that God has something much, much bigger planned. And it's not that we get to be a part of it. We're a part of it. Right now, we're a part of it. And that's the beauty of it. Number four, write this down. is that God will make it worth, he'll make it worth it all someday, right? He'll make it worth it all someday. And I get, that's that parent answer. I understand that's that adult answer. You know what I mean? Like, you know, why this, why that? Well, you understand more when you get older. The dumbest answer in the world, right? You know, right? And then here we are, you know, hey, you know, well, God's going to make it worth someday. Listen, here's what I love, is the more I read this, the more that I begin to understand what that means. You cheat yourself out of this, whine and cry all you want about your current circumstances, okay? But you're going to start focusing on everything that isn't necessary to focus on. You want hope eternal? It's found right here. You want peace amongst the, you know, amidst the difficulty and trials of life? Right here. You wanna survive sickness? What does that even mean? You're gonna find it right here. Okay? Because listen, it's about your life and your testimony while you're sick. Right? It's about the mark you leave. It's not about work, man. It's not about paychecks. It's not about, listen, the ministry of North Point Church will continue on. You know why? I know, because God said the gates of hell will never, ever prevail against the church. The greatest thing you could ever be involved in is God's church. And God knows every move you make. And I'm glad he does. I'm really glad he does. Would never have said that. Even a few years back, probably. I would have said it, but I would have been lying. Right? You guys do that sometimes? Point it. No. All I can tell you is this. God's got a plan for our lives that we don't fully get. But just because we fully don't get it doesn't mean that we need to be upset. He loves us. He cares about us. You're here because you're part of a family here. And we need to be able to walk out these doors with an eternal perspective. Take time of time today to teach you everything about eternity. Some of we'd be guessing at anyway, right? You can argue that out on Facebook. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians once again. We don't lose heart. We do not lose heart. Can I just tell you something? The reason I want to just keep reading this passage is because all of a sudden, every time I've preached this so far, every time I get to this phrase at this point in the message, it gets me all excited. We don't lose heart. Why? Because we've just been talking about a different perspective. We don't have to lose heart when we're right here in the midst. We don't have to lose heart because all of a sudden, man, we're having one of those moments right there. We don't have to lose heart because we know God's working a much larger drama out in our lives called eternity. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 8. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Right? Right? I consider that our present suffering, so whatever it is you're suffering with, whatever difficult thing is happening in your life, here's what he says, right? Paul's speaking this. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. And here's what I love. In us. Not to us. Not head knowledge. Through experience. In us. Do you see the difference? In us. He's doing it in us. He's not just communicating it to us. He's done that. Right? Now it's in us. And it's all through the experience. And here's what he says. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Hey, there's a different perspective to be had. You can get focused on all the things of this world, all the things of our modern day struggles. And I'm just saying straight up, things need to change. Our world's a mess. But it's going to change because of God's people having a different perspective and living that out. Amen. It will not change by sitting behind a computer screen. It will not change by judging everybody. It will not change because you think you're God, because you're not. It will change when God's people go and be Jesus. Amen. That's it. Let's pray. God, thanks for your love. Thanks for hope. Thanks for giving us the opportunity today just to catch a glimpse of the perspective that you're doing stuff that's big. And then we're right in the middle of it. And you care about us and you care about our current hurts. And you want to bring us through those and you're shaping and molding us. And everything that you're doing is bigger, is much bigger than what we're actually going through. And so God, help us to understand. Help us to see a difference. Help us to live that difference out and make an impact, man, in the world that you put us in and the community you put us in. Help us to be different and point people to you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.